How are music therapists changing the lives of people in Canada?
What is the latest research and trends?
You are tuned into the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast,
and we will explore these questions with our guest today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adrian and Kathy. We have three guests we are featuring on this episode: Tyler Reedy, Teresa Ayani, and Laura Hastings. Tyler shares with us about his journey as a NICU music therapist and the ways his work impacts babies and families each day. Teresa tells us more about an amazing quality improvement project in the neonatal intensive care unit of a hospital and what her vision is for the future of music therapy. Finally, Laura tells us more about her drive to create a nationwide network of music therapists working in the NICU.
And here's a little more about Tyler, Teresa, and Laura. Tyler is a certified music therapist and registered psychotherapist living in Guelph and working in the Kitchener-Waterloo area in Ontario. He earned his Master of Music Therapy degree at Wilfrid Laurier University, and he's one of the full-time medical music therapists at Grand River Hospital in Kitchener, working in the children's program, providing services to the neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, inpatient pediatrics, and the Pediatric Oncology Group of Ontario, POGO. Satellite Clinic. Tyler also works as a child and family therapist at Bloom Child and Family Therapy in Kitchener. Tyler has further training in the First Sounds Rhythm, Breath, and Lullaby NICU Music Therapy training and in Neurologic Music Therapy, NMT. Teresa is a registered psychotherapist and a certified music therapist, and she has a master's degree in music therapy as well, MMT, from Wilfrid Laurier, and specialized training in neurologic music therapy and NICU music therapy, rhythm, breath, lullaby. Teresa has been working as a music therapist for over 13 years, where she's had the opportunity to work with children and adults with developmental delays, neurological impairments, and mental health disorders. Teresa currently works full-time at Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center in Toronto in geriatric care, Alzheimer's, dementia, and end of life, and has recently completed a quality improvement project in the NICU called Implementing a Music Therapy Program. Teresa is also the owner and director of a music therapy private practice which supports children and young adults on the autism spectrum. And Laura graduated from Capilano University in 2013 after completing her internship at BC Children's Hospital. After practicing for 4 years in Vancouver and the Lower Mainland, she went on to complete her master's in music therapy at Concordia University in Montreal. There, she joined forces with Capilano graduate Allison Usher-Jones in her private practice, working with individuals with autism. After 4 years in Montreal, she returned to the West Coast to work in a neonatal intensive care unit and in long-term care. Laura is excited to be in the new board position of president-elect to support BC music therapists.
Welcome to the podcast, Tyler. We're excited to have you here.
Can you share more about your work and what led you to be interested in this specialty?
Yeah, of course. Maybe I'll start a little bit about my music therapy journey. I feel like it was a bit tumultuous. But like most music therapists, I have a pretty big love of music. And I think I mainly started falling in love with the world of music in high school. I woodwinds, all of those fun things. So I fell in love with being a band student throughout high school, and I knew that I wanted to in some capacity pursue music, but prior to that I ended up going to post-secondary school to study practical nursing, so I was exposed to healthcare. I really enjoyed like the interactive aspect of and at the time working with like residents in long-term care, but I realized it wasn't for me, so I did a shift to studying my bachelor's in music in university, and I volunteered anywhere I could possibly find an opportunity because I had no idea what I wanted to do aside from music, and I was studying a psychology minor as well, so I knew healthcare, psych, music was a combination I wanted, but at the time I really didn't know anything about music therapy, and I had started volunteering at Kids Ability, which is the Child Development Center in Waterloo. And while I was there, there was a volunteer posting for a music therapy assistant. I was like, what is that? So I volunteered, I think it was like 3 hours a week. It was three different groups, small children all the way up to teenage years, doing rock bands, doing social groups through music therapy. And I loved it. And that music therapy, the music therapist happened to work in a small NICU in Burlington, St. Joseph Brant, at the time. And she very graciously let me shadow her. I didn't even know what music therapy was, let alone like doing music therapy in a neonatal intensive care unit.
Right.
And I thought it was the coolest thing, like just seeing babies soothe to music, watching babies' vitals totally shift to not only the music therapist's voice, but to the family's voice, or watching families hold their babies during kangaroo care. And I was like, this is beautiful. This is what I want to do. So I applied to my the Master's of Music Therapy program at Laurier, and I was lucky to get in. And I mean, all of my classmates can attest to this. I was like the NICU pediatric person in my year. I did all of my research in NICU. I did all of my like papers about like pediatrics. I was lucky enough to get to do two internships to different children's hospitals, and I got exposed to so much parent-infant work. And I was done. I was like, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. And then the pandemic happened. However, amidst that, I was lucky to be able to finish my university degree at Grand River Hospital to finish my hours. And from there, I was able to connect to the NICU there. And they had never interacted with the idea of music therapy before. They didn't really know what it was. Mm-hmm. There was already music therapy in the hospital, but the NICU was an unfamiliar place. So I was able to get my supervisor at the time to connect me to the NICU, and that kind of started the ball rolling back in October of 2020. And fast forward to March of 2022, and I was finally able to start the program, which was so cool. And I'm still there now, a year and a half later. But yeah, I never envisioned myself working in neonatal care, and I'm so thankful that for that music therapist in my undergrad during fall. And yeah, now I get to do it, and it's great.
Your story is so inspiring because really, I mean, you're pretty laser focused on where you wanted to be, and now you're there. Yeah. And so I love how you shared, you gave us a taste already of how babies and families benefit and what you observed when you saw that music therapist working at Joe Brant. And so I'm wondering if you can tell us even more about how babies and families benefit from music therapy and from, you know, from the work that you're doing with them in the NICU.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm going to backtrack a little bit with that question and just talk a little bit about the NICU music therapy training. So right now, there's no NICU music therapy training in Canada. They're all in the US. So there's kind of two brains to the approach. So there's the First Sounds Rhythm, Breath, and Lullaby training at Mount Sinai Beth Israel Hospital. And that's kind of like a music psychotherapy approach in looking at babies and families and the environment and staff and how best to kind of support like the bonding, the safe stimulation. And then the other training right now is at Florida State University with their Institute for Child or Infant and Child Medical Music Therapy, which is a more neurobehavioral and evidence-based protocol in looking at how to incorporate stimulation and looking at best ways of incorporating music for protocols for feeding and weight gain, etc. So for me, I had done the First Sounds Rhythm, Breath, and Lullaby training, and I've actually recently just started the other training as well, hoping to get as much knowledge as I can. I'm talking about this because I'm sure there might be slight definition changes based on like what people's perception of the NICU is. So for me, really the role of a music therapist in my own thoughts is to support and enhance the building of a secure relationship between an infant and their parent and caregiver. So most oftentimes sessions are at bedside, typically during snuggle time or kangaroo care. So during skin to skin, oftentimes I also do music therapy at bedside while the baby's just in their bassinet or in an isolate. And so really providing that safe stimulation through modified live music. So that might be humming or providing slow songs or lullabies on the guitar. And it's really to support the infant self-soothing behaviors. So through providing comfort and stability to help them with their sleep, relaxation. Oftentimes, a big role is to provide a lot of psychoeducation to parents and caregivers. So one way could be empowering their voices in the NICU. So as you could probably imagine, and it can be quite daunting and scary to have a baby and then they're in an intensive care unit. So holding them might be scary, or touching or talking, or maybe this is your first child and you're like, I don't know how to interact. And so that's kind of where I often come in and being like, let's read together, let's sing, let's hum, let's talk. And just providing them a lot of empowerment and access to their own health care. Because of medical treatment, you don't have maybe as much autonomy or control in those situations. And this really provides like, oh, I can still have access to bonding with my child amidst all of this really challenging stuff. I also like to think of music therapy as the quiet reminder. I remember when I had pitched the program, everyone kind of envisioned me in like my pediatric role, where I would be running into the peds unit with a big cart with drums and a guitar ready to rock and roll with the little ones. Whereas it's the total opposite, whereas I'm kind of like the silence keeper and I'm providing lullabies to help soothe and relax. And so that's often like a reminder for kind of the environment, but for the staff too, to be like, oh, Tyler's here, quiet time, as well as just the decibel readers that we have in the unit. Going along with that too is educating staff and families about those overstimulation cues. A big goal for music therapists is often building environmental tolerance. So we get to, and with families, get to introduce them to so many new sounds. Sometimes I bring in instruments like the neonate ocean disc or the gatto drum. And stimulation is only provided during the day when baby's awake. So in the NICU, everything's based on kind of cluster care. So most of the care is all clustered so that babies are able to sleep as long as possible in order to kind of like sustain as much energy prior to getting a bath, getting changed, having snuggles, getting fed. And so that's oftentimes when like nursing calls me and they're like, hey, Tyler, we need you to soothe these babies and interact with the families and provide support. So that also might be during during blood works and IVs, or when the NICU gets like very loud, as it does in every space. And so again, like that gentle reminder is really important.
I wonder, I love how much you've described about the work that you do and how you interact with the babies and families. You've really painted a picture for us. I'm wondering if you can tell us a little more about the impact or maybe some outcomes that you see in your work.
I guess it's kind of multifaceted. Again, I kind of brought this up a little earlier, but just getting to see the infant and the babies just totally change in their response to music, as well as the parents. So I always like to remind families, they're like, well, the music's for the baby. And I'm like, well, actually, it's for you too. So I bring it back to that kangaroo care during that that skin to skin. So if parent is like high anxiety, their heart rate's up, and their baby's on them, then baby's heart rate's going to be up. Their temperature's probably high because the parents also temperature is high, so they're responding to them. So providing music in that space, you just see the heart, their heart rate, their respiration rate, their oxygen saturation just totally either decrease or just soothe out. And you notice their temperature stability also change in those moments. As well as another one of my favorite things to do is music therapy feeding support. So this is essentially providing rhythmic stimulation during nutritive sucking, so while they're feeding. And so the goal is often like, is does baby need support with their sucking strength? Is it endurance related? Is it motivation? Going back to like, did they sleep the past 3 hours? Are they exhausted? Is this why they're having a hard time motivating? A lot with our babies who have NAS, neonatal abstinence syndrome. So these are babies that are diagnosed with an opioid substance exposure. And so as they withdraw from the drug on morphine, then they have to withdraw from the morphine afterwards. So I find that's actually where a lot of my referrals come from. But with I find with those babies, they often have a hard time with pacing their feeds. So they'll either drink way too fast and then they'll get sick, or they will have a really hard time with that rhythm. So music therapy comes in really, really great in those moments, just to help soothe them during those times of withdrawal symptoms, but then also to provide support and almost like auditory encouragement during the feeds, which is so cool. And then I think the other benefit that I see is, and I think kind of this might be unique to my own NICU, but is the support for parents and seeing their growth over time. I mean, you see this in all the NICUs with music therapy, but specifically myself and the social worker that I work with in the NICU, we developed a program called Snuggle Time Social. So it's kind of like a blend of social work, creative arts, and music therapy that we do each week. So every week's different. We offer like ukulele clubs. We often do like meaning making activities. So I often will do heartbeat recordings with families, or we'll do kind of like photo shoots or lullaby writing. So I'll give them like a really basic lullaby. We're also kind of doing like matchmaker with families as well. like just connecting families together, because it can be kind of isolating as well. Yeah, but just trying to provide as much access to connection, but then also trying to really empower families to feel like they're part of the healthcare of their child and that they're able to kind of come, but they're also able to like sit with the icks, sit with the processing, because it can be a really stressful experience being in NICU, and providing access is important. So with families, I often do the first intervention that I do is often called the Song of Kin, which is a personalized, culturally specific lullaby. So we either pick a lullaby, or we recreate a lullaby, or we write a lullaby from scratch, and then that becomes their special lullaby that's dedicated to them and their baby, and they're able to use that as their calm song in the NICU, but then also like in their transition outside of the NICU, which is really cool.
Oh my gosh, Tyler, it is all so, it's fabulous work that you're doing. It's really, really positive, and just an incredible opportunity for supporting people through such a challenging time. But you paint such a beautiful picture of this time that you share with families. We are so grateful to have you here with us today, sharing about this important work. And I'm sure you're inspiring other budding music therapists with your stories and all of your experience and expertise in this area. Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast, Teresa. Can you tell us more about your recent quality improvement project you completed in the NICU?
Sure. So the hospital I work at is a level 3 NICU, and it's one of 3 high-risk regional neonatal nurseries serving the Central East region of Ontario. It's a 48-bed unit, and it's the only single family room modeled NICU in Ontario. Unfortunately, we didn't have a music therapy program. However, in 2022, I began a quality improvement project where I was able to implement music therapy into the unit 2 times a week for 6 months. My overall goal in conducting this quality improvement project was to really showcase the benefits of having a dedicated music therapist in the NICU. And during my project, I basically had two aims that I was really focused on. So I'm just going to talk about those two aims and give you guys a little bit of an example of what that looked like. So my first aim was really to improve caregivers' self-reported stress through music therapy sessions. And this was measured using a standardized questionnaire pre and post music therapy sessions. It was the perceived stress scale developed by Cohen in 1983. So caregivers were asked to answer the perceived stress scale, which was four questions, and were encouraged to choose the most appropriate answer. So their options were never, almost never, sometimes, often, and very often. And those responses were given a numeric value so that I could quantify their level of stress. So based on the questionnaire, caregivers could score anywhere between zero, which indicated absolutely zero stress, or 16, which was extremely stressed. I remember getting a referral from a nurse to visit a caregiver who was really struggling with having their infant in the NICU. They had a previous preterm loss and were reliving that trauma with their current experience. So I went in to see them and offered music therapy support. I suggested songwriting with the potential to create a personalized lullaby. And this caregiver was very, very apprehensive and expressed a lot of fear and anxiety about their situation. We spent an hour talking about their story, their fears, their worries, their hopes, and then we began discussing ideas for what they thought would be a perfect lullaby for them. In our conversation, they began jotting down some really important words that came up, feelings and phrases. And then before we knew it, we were fitting those words into a popular song structure that they had requested. It was the beginning of this family's song of kin or personalized lullaby. And at the end of that session, I collected their caregiver's perceived stress scale. And to my surprise, their perception of stress changed by 5 points just in that one session. Initially, their perception of their level of stress scored a 12, and post-session, it was an 8. Now, that's just one example of how music therapy was able to support caregivers. And over the course of my project, I continued to collect data similar. And at the end of the project, the average perception of stress between caregivers changed by about 1.5 points, I guess you could say. Now, some caregivers reported feeling the same level of stress, but reported feeling really thankful for that opportunity to do something creative for them during their NICU experience. And sometimes caregivers really reported drastic changes in their perception of stress. And even sometimes feeling more stressed was a thing on two occasions. And then my second aim or goal during my quality improvement project was to increase meaningful auditory stimulation in the NICU. So because our NICU is single family rooms, those rooms are often very, very, very quiet, which is a good thing for babies in the NICU, but it could also be detrimental in their neurodevelopment. So we know research shows specific NICU music therapy techniques can affect the physiological state of an infant. And since our babies are already connected to monitors that measure their heart rate, respiratory rate, and oxygen saturation, I was actually curious to track what their physiological response was during music therapy. So to do this, I basically documented their heart rate and respiratory rate and oxygen saturation 10 minutes prior to starting a music therapy session, 5 minutes prior to our session, during our session, and then 5 minutes and 10 minutes post our session. So it really gave me an overview of where they were pre, during, and post. I received a referral for a baby who had had a medical procedure about 30 minutes before I arrived on the unit. And this baby's nurse reported that their heart rate was really, really elevated during the procedure and hasn't really regulated since. So it was trending around 200 to 210 beats per minute. The baby was agitated and couldn't self-regulate. So the nurse was wondering if music therapy would be able to support that baby. So I went in and I began playing the ocean disc and vocalizing to the rhythm of the baby's heart rate. I began intentionally slowing down to encourage relaxation. And within a couple minutes, I could see the infant's heart rate decreasing. And by the end of our session, it had regulated to 145 to 150 beats per minute. That infant was able to self-regulate and then remained in a quiet sleep state after our session until its next feed. His nurse was so happy that this happened. And I was one of those experiences that I will probably talk about because it was such an instant change and beneficial experience, visible to see the change in the infant how music was really beneficial for him at that time.
Wow. That's so impactful, you know, just even seeing, measuring. I mean, you can see visually, but having those measurements and the heart rate and just seeing him relax and self-regulate, I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. How amazing.
Yeah, it was one of the first times nurses were like, that's what you do as a music therapist. I get it. I can see how that could be beneficial.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so important that you're capturing this and that you have this study. So you have some of those hard numbers that, you know, people want to see that really support the beautiful qualitative evidence that you're describing. And thank you so much for being with us today and for talking about this QI study and sharing the stories that you were a part of and really the wonderful benefits of the work that you're doing with families and babies.
Thanks,
yeah. So we'd also love to hear what you foresee or hope for the future of music therapy in the NICU.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm a dreamer. I think music therapy in the NICU should just be a standard of practice. There's a lot of evidence that comes out of music therapy studies. Unfortunately, most of them are in the States. And so I think for Canadians, that means we need to step up our game and really start doing more QI projects, more research for our own expansion. We know our medical system is different than that in the States or in other places of the world. So I think it would be really great for us to kind of not develop our own method of NICU music therapy, but really just see what works in our hospital settings. For us, at my hospital, I would honestly love to see it really supporting high-risk obstetrics and NICU follow-up. I think it's like a trifecta approach that would be super beneficial. I know a lot of the caregivers I supported during this quality improvement project were previously high-risk obstetric patients who then had infants in the NICU. So I feel like supporting them in those earlier on stages could be way helpful and beneficial for them to have that support. So that would be my biggest dream, would be kind of a women and babies music therapist working in all three of our settings in our hospital.
What a wonderful vision. And we really hope to see your dreams come true. And you've really already started to lay the groundwork here. And I also really appreciate your call to action for your colleagues and for music therapists across Canada who might be interested in moving into this area of work. Thanks so much for being with us today, Teresa.
Welcome back to the podcast, Laura. We'd love to hear more about your path and your efforts in connecting music therapists working in the NICU.
When I originally did my training to be a NICU certified music therapist from Florida State University with Dr. Jane Stanley, I was having a hard time figuring out who I could bounce ideas off of if I wanted to start a program. I was trying to figure out who I could connect with to know what kind of program was possible. And a few were fairly easy to figure out because I had a few connections, but Canada is quite vast and quite spread out. So what led me to create a bit more of a network, a connected tissue of NICU music therapists, was that feeling of disconnect. I went on to do my master's in music therapy at Concordia University in 2017 and did my research, my thesis, on what it's like to be a music therapist in a NICU in Canada. And I interviewed three amazing people who were so kind to share their journeys and their programs and what they were seeing, what techniques they were using. I found it so incredibly valuable, and I assumed that other NICU music therapists in our country would also value that information. So chatting with a few friends who were music therapists in Children's Hospital, they mentioned that they had just an email chain, something super simple, an email chain that connected several music therapists working with that specific population. And I thought, well, that's a fantastic idea. So I just gradually added more people to the email chain, ideally focusing on people who were currently working in NICUs, but also including those who were piloting projects, advocating for funding for new projects, for new music therapy programs in NICUs. And it's grown to be a wonderful number of incredibly passionate and helpful, kind Canadians. With this email chain, we have been able to connect with music therapists from almost every single province who are working in this population, who have recently worked in this population, and we've been sharing resources, sharing templates, sharing upcoming research, championing each other as we're doing presentations for hospitals, for donors, sharing PowerPoints. It really has become an invaluable support. And another really exciting thing happened just this past year, where we had the World Congress of Music Therapy happening in Vancouver. And I knew there were a few NICU music therapists that were coming from Canada. I knew there were a few, more than a few NICU music therapists presenting at this event as well. So reached out through the email chain, hey, who's coming? Does anybody need any accommodation? Does anyone need recommendations for restaurants? And a few folks said, yeah, we'll be there. We're so excited. And so while we were there, I invited Dr. Jane Stanley, one of the founders and gladiators of music therapy in North America. We invited her to lunch. And all the other Canadian NICU music therapists who were coming to the Congress also attended. We had a wonderful lunch and got to hear from Jane. She's so generous. I feel like the things I'm learning about this network are people in our profession are so generous of spirit and generous of skill, and they just want everyone to succeed and to thrive and just to share a wonderful meal together. So we had a couple of opportunities for meals, connected with someone from Sweden, connected with someone from all across North America. And I found that just a simple email chain really helped everyone keep in the loop and provide our specialized NICU music therapists with some really amazing opportunities to connect, support, and equip each other.
Thank you for joining us on the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast.
To learn more about resources from the show, please visit beyondthestudio.ca.
Thanks for listening.